Our text is taken this morning from Psalm 23. Just a preliminary note before we read our text and pray. Our first study was on John chapter 10, verses 1 through 16, our Lord's discourse on the Good Shepherd. We have in John chapter 10 the relationship of the shepherd and the sheep from the perspective of the shepherd. And we gave that in our preliminary study. In Psalm 23, we have the relationship of the sheep to the shepherd from the perspective of the sheep. So these two combine to give us a complete picture. Let us look now at Psalm 23. A psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us pray. We thank you, our Heavenly Father, for this passage of Scripture. We thank you for the psalmist David and for the heart and mind that you gave him in the anointing of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for these words written that have given comfort to countless multitudes of souls and personalities. Might we feed upon your word. Might we be instructed by your truth. Might we rejoice as we seek to follow you, as we have a relationship to you through your holy word. We ask for the edification of your people, and for the awakening and the conversion of those who cannot say, "The Lord is my shepherd." Bless this study, we ask. Glorify yourself in it. Awaken us to these truths, we ask, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I will begin our study this morning on this 23rd Psalm with some quotations to set the stage for our study. This has been called the Pearl of the Psalms, the sweetest psalm of the entire Psalter. It is unrivaled in its calm serenity and perfect faith. It constitutes the ideal experience of the believer couched in Old Testament and figurative language. C.H. Spurgeon noted, "Its piety and poetry are equal. Its sweetness and spirituality are unsurpassed." Psalm 23 now emphasizes the loving care of God for his child, for the believer, and he does so in a positive sense amidst the negative things of this life. So we want to set Psalm 23 in its proper context. There is no dire emergency or crisis which drives the psalmist to his God in grief. There is no sorrowful or grievous repentance for sin. Sorrows and griefs are largely forgotten, and the love and tender care of God flow throughout this psalm. So it is an idealistic picture, a positive picture of the believer's relationship to God as his caring shepherd. This psalm was often a mealtime prayer for the ancient Jews, bringing to remembrance God's care for them and his bounty to them. Countless believers throughout the ages have sustained themselves in these words, and they will continue to do so to the end of time. Is not this often the personal experience of a true believer? It is almost automatic to say, it's in our heart and mind, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then we rehearse that loving, caring relationship that we have in the context of God as our Heavenly Father and as our shepherd. These words have given more help to the human mind and heart than all the books of philosophy ever written, and we might add, probably most of the theology books ever written. Although this psalm is the best known, the most often quoted, and perhaps the most well studied, it can never be worn out. And we trust in these studies to open it, study it, and make it more our own as a personal possession, ministering to us on every occasion than ever before. May this study soothe our souls and calm our hearts with the love and care of our Lord Jesus Christ, who himself is the good shepherd. I want to review now what we have studied in our former studies. Psalm 23 forms the central element of the trilogy of Psalms, Psalm 22, Psalm 23, and Psalm 24. In Psalm 22, we have the Savior's cross with emphasis on the grace of God. In Psalm 23, the shepherd's crook with emphasis on the guidance of God. In Psalm 24, the sovereign's crown with emphasis on the glory of God. Psalm 22 is situated in the past. It is twofold. In verses 1 through 21, the suffering and death of our Savior. It is a messianic psalm. David himself never experienced what he ascribes to himself in this psalm. It is prophetic and it is messianic. In verses 21 through 31 of Psalm 22, we have the glory and the joy of our Lord's resurrection prophetically anticipated. In Psalm 23, we are brought to the present. Our Savior is our sustainer. He is our caring shepherd through our experiences in this life. In Psalm 24, we combine the past, the present, and the future. This prophetically anticipates our Lord's entrance into heaven, to sit at the Father's right hand and to take up his intercessory ministry as our great high priest. These psalms are largely messianic in their prophetic anticipation. Now, there are two approaches to this psalm traditionally. One approach carries the metaphor of the shepherd and the sheep throughout the psalm. But with many, there are three metaphors. And this is a rather popular approach to the psalm. I give it in passing. In verses 1 and 2, the shepherd and the sheep. The key thought is provision. In verses 3 and 4, the guide and the traveler. The key thought is direction. And then in verses 5 and 6, the host and the guest. The key thought is communion. In our study, we will keep to the sheep and the shepherd throughout the psalm, and yet at times we will make application to these other metaphors as being very appropriate and descriptive. We want now to outline this psalm. And we're going to emphasize either the shepherd or the sheep. With emphasis on the shepherd, we have what is called an inverted outline, A, B, A. The shepherd's abundant provision, verses 1 through 3. The shepherd's able protection, verses 4 and the first part of verse 5. And then back to the shepherd's abundant provision, the latter part of verse 5 and verse 6. But the outline we will use in our study is a day in the life of a sheep. David was probably an old man when he wrote this, and he was reminiscing about God's dealings throughout his life and rule as king. And he reminisces his life as a shepherd, as a young man. He faced the bear. He faced the lion. He put his life on the line. He gave himself to what has been described by his family, those few sheep in the wilderness. He knew them by name. He led them. They had a close relationship. And this gives us a hint, a day in the life of the sheep in this psalm. Verse 1, the shepherd and the sheep. Verse 2, morning in the meadows, leaving the sheepfold, going to lush pasture, resting before a climb to the mountain pasture for the day. The shepherd and the sheep, verse 1, morning in the meadows, verse 2, midday on the mountains, verse 3, then returning now down this steep ravine to the sheepfold in this small valley or canyon, the evening and its evils, verses 4 and 5, and finally, verse 6, the sheepfold and its safety. And we will develop this outline, God willing, in our studies. I want to make some general observations as we introduce this psalm. The keynote of the entire psalm is struck in the opening verse in three words: Lord, my, and shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. These three words strike the keynote of this psalm. And the remainder of the psalm is but an amplification and application of this reality. Throughout, there is emphasis on a personal, intimate relationship. The shepherd and the sheep, the believer and his Lord. The blessedness of this psalm is found in the reality of being able to say the truth that the Lord is my shepherd. My shepherd. By his grace, I have been brought into a personal, intimate relationship with him. My sins have been forgiven. I've been granted the indwelling presence of his Spirit. All of this we take from John 10. All of this we take from Psalm 23, where we can say, the Lord is my shepherd. A personal, intimate relationship with the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus. Now, from our study of verse 10, John chapter 10, verses 1 through 16, from our study of the good shepherd in John's gospel, we learn much that is not repeated in Psalm 23. So I want to bring these together, and what have we learned? First, we learn that David belonged to God in a special way, not only as king, but as an individual. He could say, the Lord is my shepherd. The good shepherd leaves the sheepfold and calls his own sheep by name, and they follow him. The Lord has called me by name. He has entered into an intimate relationship with me. The Lord is my shepherd. In a communal sheepfold, the shepherds would come early in the morning. One would walk in one direction, one would walk in another, and each shepherd called forth his sheep by name. God, David says, has called me by name, individual, placed his love upon me. Again, the Lord has called me by name. By name, the most intimate relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. Again, David was meant to follow the Lord in all things as his sheep. And the same is true for us. He leadeth them out. The sheep's entire life was determined by the nature, the care, the character, and the knowledge of the shepherd. This is reflected in a hymn by William Bradbury, written in 1864, He Leadeth Me. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. Sometimes in mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by waters calm or troubled sea, still 'tis his hand that leadeth me. Lord, I would clasp thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur, nor repine, content whatever lot I see, since 'tis my God that leadeth me. He leadeth me. He leadeth me. By his own hand, he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. We note that the Lord would provide for David in every circumstance and seek his rest and welfare. And the same is true for us. We began the song, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall never, ever want or lack. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. The shepherd cared for the sheep, knew its strength, knew its weaknesses, and knew its need for nourishment and even for rest and repose. Again, the Lord would protect David to the utmost. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Our Lord said, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The shepherd put his life on the line every day to protect the sheep from robbers, from beasts of prey. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And in the case of the believer, he has. He died for us. He shed his blood. And through his vicarious atonement, we have an imputed righteousness that has reconciled us once and for all to God. From the good shepherd of John 10 to the sheep of Psalm 23, bringing them together, we have the blessedness of this intimate relationship. My second observation is this, and it is important for us to note. God is often referred to as Israel's shepherd in a national sense. But David in this psalm is intensely personal. Intensely personal. And that makes, in the context of the Old Testament, this psalm to stand out in bold relief. 17 times in these 6 verses, the psalmist refers to himself as I, my, me, and mine. 13 times, he refers personally to the shepherd as he, thou, and thy. It is an intimate personal relationship. Note that in verses 4 and 5, the third person, he, changes to the second person, thou and thy, 5 times when danger is imminent. Third, this psalm is entirely bereft of the plural. As believers, we value fellowship. As believers, we rejoice in corporate worship. But there is, beyond this, an intimate personal relationship with God that is the joy, the blessing, and the province of every true child. This psalm is utterly and entirely bereft of the plural. There is no mention of we, our, or us, or of ye, they, or them when referring to God's people. What is true of the entire flock is true of the individual sheep. What is true of believers corporately is true of the individual believer. Old or young, weak or strong, mature or immature, it is the same. Can we say indeed, the Lord is my shepherd? Do I have that relationship to the Lord that is true of every one of his sheep? Do I merely pretend to be a Christian? Do I pass as a believer? One of the multitude? Or do I have a true, intimate, personal relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ? The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And so our Lord died for his own. By his perfect life, lived under the rigors of the law, he had a positive righteousness. Through his passive obedience, his suffering and death, he procured the righteousness that we lacked in our sinfulness. And when we come to him in saving faith, we grasp, we lay hold of spiritually that perfect righteousness which is found in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. We are his. He is ours. And God looks upon us through the righteousness of his Son and pronounces his just in his sight. And we can truly say, the Lord is my shepherd. Is the Lord your shepherd? Do you have that intimate personal relationship through the Lord Jesus Christ, through His redemptive person and work? If not, then flee to Him, rest in His righteousness, and be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. Father, bless, we pray, Your holy truth. Might we enter into this psalm wholeheartedly. Might we rejoice in it and in that intimate personal relationship that is the glory and blessing of Your children, yea, the sheep of Your pasture. Amen.